how we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the opportunity to talk to thy children the purchase of thy blood once more this side of the coming of Jesus, the end of all things on this earth. So we thank thee tonight that they have come out, and I am so happy to know that thou hast promised to meet with us wherever two or three were gathered together. And now, O Lord, move afresh with the Holy Spirit upon us. Save our souls in his power and in his beauty. And let nothing be seen except Christ. And may be able to speak words that would cause the sick and afflicted tonight, as this night is set aside for them. May they see that Jesus is willing and waiting their coming, and they may be healed in even many days, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Now, we are happy to be back in the service of the Lord tonight, and just kind of helped the crowd a little late this afternoon in the speaking at the Philadelphian church, but we really had a wonderful time at the Philadelphian church this afternoon. A lady that sort of didn't say this might smile just a little, but she was raised a Methodist. And there was a message that she gave in unknown tongues and interpreted. I've seen that just ridiculed. I've seen that just not put in order at all, but this afternoon, the way it comes, not a whole big conglomeration of it, just as the Bible said, three. And two of it went to the people, the laity, and the other was the record state of the ministry. And the lady came out, she said, "Hey, wasn't that marvelous?" And so I said, "Amen." It was marvelous to see the Lord come right back down, moving in the same type of spirit and done just exactly. That's setting together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I believe that with all my heart. And now, tonight, we have set this time aside for a prayer line to pray for the sick. And tonight, God willing, I want to pray for the sick just like Brother Roberts does, and Brother Tommy Hicks, and Brother Valdez, and Jack Cole, Brother Austin, and just take them and pray for them. So I had a pretty good sized supper, an overgrown hamburger, a very big one, and all the things that went with it. coming to usually under the discerning or praying, I come constantly in prayer so that won't be just have to watch every moment. But tonight, just to be free to speak a while and then bring the people to and talk with them and pray with them, and see, I believe the Lord's going to do a great thing here tonight. I just believe it. And I kind of got a little brief before the Lord, if that seems to work just right, well then maybe the Lord would permit me then to go ahead and pray for the people like that every night, whole groups of them. So, as Brother Joseph said, you know, Mr. Joseph, he's a fine little student. He's here. Hey, I love him, but oh my, he says such nice things, and I don't want him to say it, but he says it anyhow about not wanting popularity. Never wanted I want to be honest. Not popular, honest. And I don't say nothing to be popular. I don't mean to be that way. That isn't the only one of the place I want to be popular is when Jesus comes. I want to be real popular then and say, "Well, it was well done, my good and faithful servant. All these have come now, all of these come together." Oh my. I just want to walk out so soon as I can, don't you? That's when I want to be popular. When the late Mr. Roosevelt comes to the little city, my city is too small for him, but when he comes to New Albany, just below me, I think we got about 21,000, they got about 27,000. So he stopped there in one of these lections and lectionaries, and oh my, everybody just filled the whole country around there to see Mr. Roosevelt. Well, I was like Jackie, I was too little. So they look over the crowd, so I got way up on top of the hill, and the train stopped near the river, and he stood on the back pole, or the back part of the train to make a little speech. And so I backed my truck up to his chair and climbed up on top of his chair to look. And I thought, well, you know, nobody knows I'm here now.
Father, this world without death neither. Doesn't make much difference, but I want to live so that when Jesus comes, that he will say to me like he did to Zacchaeus, I come down off of the dead. I'm sure we all feel that way, don't we? How long ago, brother that used to be with me and manage the campaigns, Brother Baxter, who preached, I've been in Chicago to you many times, he was speaking that when late King George and the Queen came by Vancouver, that before he was healed, and he had ulcers in his stomach, and he had a multiple sclerosis, and he just could hardly sit up, but yet with his well of blood, he felt like nothing was wrong with him as he passed down through the streets, and Mr. Baxter said he was still there and wept because that passed by his king and queen. If that would make a Canadian feel that way about an earthly king and queen, what would it be when Jesus comes? When I see him, when they crown him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and I hear all the hosannas, when all the redeemed of all ages stand on this earth to sing praises and songs of redemption, and around the earth will be a circle of angels with their heads bowed. Don't even know what we're talking about. They've never been redeemed. They don't need to be redeemed. They never fallen. But we who've been the fallen race of Adam, we needed redemption, so that way we can sing what it means to be redeemed. He has redeemed us back to his job by his blood. I'm looking forward to that day, cutting every effort I can to know how to the good of the kingdom of God, misunderstood certainly, that's right. But I expect that. If it wasn't misunderstood, why, guess I'd have to check up and see what was wrong. Now, tomorrow night, the Lord willing, if God is willing, I wish to preach on a salvation message, and we expect to bring your sinner friends in tomorrow night for an altar call. And we'll just see how many will serve, get to serve the Lord tomorrow night. Of course, tonight, too, or any time, you want to serve the Lord, that we're ready to show you the way, the best that we know how, to introduce you to the Lord Jesus. And then, of course, tomorrow night we'll have prayer for the sick, just the same. And then the next night is my last night, but the meeting continues on. The great servants of the Lord to be here, great man, great forceful speaker, and I'm sure you'll enjoy them very, very much. Now tonight, just by way of text, and to get out just a little early, if the Lord's willing, and to give a little extra time for the prayer line. I wish to read a text out of the Old Testament. In the book of 2 Kings, the first chapter and the 21st verse. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, and shut the door upon him, and went out. And now may the Lord add his blessings to you for just one more word to him before we speak, shall we pray? Heavenly Father, now, this is thy word. And we're so happy tonight that to know that we have the freedom of speech yet in this, our beloved country. And oh, how it grieves our hearts to see it just gradually, like termites under a house, eating it up. Oh, how we love to speak of thee and to speak to the people of thee and to see them that love you, their faces light up and tears of joy run down their cheeks, knowing this, that someday we will receive a kingdom when Jesus comes and sets upon the throne of his father David, and there will be 1,000 years that peace shall reign in every heart. All even nature is groaning, waiting for that glorious time, that day. And we're looking for the coming of the King. And as we're here tonight, lectioneering for him, oh God, I pray that in some way, in thy own way, that you'll speak tonight to every heart and let those hands that hung down be lifted up. And I pray that you'll bless the feeble, the ones that sick and weary. May they be strengthened tonight, going out across this schoolyard with their hands up in the air after the meeting, rejoicing and singing praises to God. Those in wheelchairs see walking and shouting and leaping and jumping for the glory of God. Father, grant it, for we ask it in Jesus' name, and for the gospel's sake and the fulfilling of the word. Amen. Subject tonight is about an Old Testament prophet. See, how many was at the Philadelphia church this afternoon? Let's see your hands. That's fine. And now, we were speaking on an Old Testament prophet this afternoon, Micah. And the Bible, the Hebrew letter tells us that Hebrews 12, that all of these things of the Old Testament were shadows and types and were signs, mileposts that we can look at, and they're examples. We see when man failed to serve God, what happened? We see men who stood out like real soldiers and served God, we see what happened. So we can take from there a choice. And I trust tonight, if there be any here that's out of the way, that you'll make Christ your choice tonight before the service is over. And may God in some way give us words to say or something that would cause your attention to be turned from the things of the world to the Lord Jesus Christ. To know Him is life. Not to know the church, or not to know the catechism is life. Not to know the Bible, though as good as it is. Not to know the Bible is life. Satan knows the Bible real well. But to know Him is life. To know Christ as personal Savior is life to everyone. Now, the prophet we're speaking of tonight is Elijah. And he is the successor of Elijah. Elijah was a great man. He was spoke of him the other night here as the judgment of the justice of God. Elijah was a great and powerful prophet. And every evening when I'm home, after everything's cleaned out, I take my little girls and give them a Bible study. Put them in the car so nobody interrupts us and ride around, wife and babies. And I give them questions like, who was Elijah? What was he? And that's what some little 6-year-old, 8-year-old girl says, she's like, he's like it. And I say, how do you know that he was, how could you tell if you were to meet him today, what kind of a man was he? Oh, he was a hairy man, had leather around his loins. Little Rebecca sure want to holler out. He just keeps drilling that into their mind, drilling it constantly. That's what you do to your children, mother. Quit running around in the city, jabbed about, give your children Bible lectures, you know. That's the thing to do. All these years, societies and posts, all those in the church. The church is so societied up, there's no time to raise the children. And I believe you've heard my expression of women preachers, so I might have to crawl back on. But let me tell you, every mother is a preacher. Sure. And God gives you a little congregation home to preach to. So I just keep it going. That's good. You get it first. So then, go right with your children. And here some time ago, I was reading an article. Well, there was a home, and 5 boys were born in this home, and as soon as the oldest one got old enough to go to the Navy, off to the Navy he went. The second one followed, the next one, until all the whole 5 went away to the Navy. And there was no Marines or Navy man in their family. Their mother and father couldn't understand just why these people, these boys, everyone wanted to go to the Navy. That was a real fine-combing investigation made of it. And come to find out, in the bedroom where these boys all were brought up in this bedroom, there's a beautiful big picture hanging there of a big ship sailing on a white calm sea. And it's so impressed the boys as they went to bed at night. Look at this picture. It was on their mind to sail that white speeding sea. And in the morning when they arose, the first thing they could look at was that ship making her way through this white, calm sea. And it impressed the boys so that each one become a sailor. Now, if a picture of a ship will impress boys to become Navy men, sailors of the sea, what ought the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ be? See? Always have the right thing before your children. Bring up a child in the way that it should go. Right. Bring it up and teach it right. It'll certainly won't depart from it. Now, Elijah was a Elijah was a stern man and very bold, and he was setting the earth for example. God placing here to show his divine judgment to this man. And Elijah, his successor, was a young fellow, and not too old, probably in his 40s or something when God called him. And he received a double portion of the Spirit of God that was upon Elijah, come upon Elijah. Oh, what a type that is of the church. See, as Elijah, the prophet, was taken up, and Elijah asked Elijah, what will you that I do for you? And what he asked, a great thing, that a double portion of your spirit come upon me. Now, the Bible wants us to ask for big things, not to be satisfied, Lord, yep, I've gone to church now, that's enough. No, that's not enough for me. I want to do something else. I want great things. Well, Lord, by His grace, I'll claim 1 million souls for Christ in my own individual ministry. 1 million souls or better. I'm not satisfied with that. I want 2 or 3 million souls for Christ. Just got to keep going. As long as I've got breath and energy to move, I just want to keep on going. Because this is the only time I'm going to be able to do that. Right now. Right now, this may be your lifetime that you'll have the opportunity to do it. I think of sometimes how mothers will refuse to raise children, bring up children, and young women practice birth control, buy little dogs and lead them around. And you only realize, lady, that just about 20 years of your life that you have that God's allotted to you, that you're going to be able to do this great duty for God? Do you know your child might be a modern city or something like that? Do you realize just about 20 years of your life, as long as you'll be able to raise children, and all through the eternity, you'll enjoy the blessings of God if you bring a child in this world and raise it right. That star that's shining out in glory, you'll be associated with it, see? And then to refuse to raise the little fellows because you're going to take this running around and praying on, that's ridiculous. You shouldn't do that. And don't do it. No, sir, don't you do it. You'd be a happy person. Mothers of old, they love to raise children. But all this modern American day that we're living in now, I tell you, our nation is simply polluted. There's not a hope left for this nation, as I see. Only an old-fashioned revival, and according to the scriptures, it'll never be nationwide. So then, we're just left. If there's a revival among the people, the elect of God, but there won't be a real speaking revival to take the whole nation in. Never was, and never will be. In this great kingdom has got to fall like all other kingdoms to give way to the eternal kingdom of God, which to be issued in soon. We love our country, sure we do, but it breaks our hearts to see the pollution in it today. Oh, it's terrible. It's fancy. Reach the nostrils of God and other conditions. Now, Elijah asked for, what can I do for you? But he was going there. He said, that a double portion of your spirit come upon me.
Right.
And he said, you've asked a hard thing, but nevertheless, if you see me when I go, then you'll have what you desire. Now, I can imagine that young fellow keeping his eye on that old prophet every move he made. Every way he made a move, he moved with him. Because he wanted a double portion of that spirit. If you want a double portion, keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. Right. What a type that was. When Jesus was taken away, being Elijah type, now, the church asked, a mother asked for her 2 sons, let him set the right hand and left hand. He said, that's not for me to give, but can you drink the cup that I drink? He said, yes. He said, can you be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? Yes, he said, you shall. That's true. So then, a double portion, these things that I do, shall you do also, and more than this shall you do, for I go to the Father. A double portion of the Spirit was on Jesus has come to the church. See? Now, a double portion of Elijah's Spirit come on Elijah, and he done twice the miracle that Elijah did. And a double portion of the Holy Spirit, now I want you to notice,
Elijah had a robe as a symbol. A robe was what he was wrapped in. And he was a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And if he went up, he walked, and the robe fell back from the chariot, and he picked up the robe and laid it on his own shoulders and went down to the Jordan and started doing miracles. And Jesus, the baptism he had, was the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which was in him, that come on him at the river Jordan as he was baptized in water, John by the Lord, the Spirit of God like a dove coming upon him. And notice, then when he went up, he sent back the same robe that he was wrapped in. The Holy Ghost upon the church. And now people that believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and are afraid to take divine healing, and afraid to declare yourself a member or associate among those believers, why, you should be ashamed. It would be the greatest honor to know that I have been wrapped in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And he seemed fit to do that. So then, when this young prophet goes back, he begins to perform miracles. And the church, when it picked up the robe of the Lord Jesus, it started performing miracles. And as long as there will be a true church in the earth, there will always be performing miracles. Sure, it's still wrapped in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And his Spirit dwells in the church and performs the miracles just like it did. As I said last night, Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. And the Father that sent him went with him and was in him. And the Jesus that sends you goes with you and in you to the end of the world. Amen. Oh, how beautiful. And no, it's not just some little calendar you picked up or some story off of a news rack out there. It's God's eternal Word, the Bible. That's true. God himself could be no truer than his Word is. Now, notice, then Elijah, as he returned back, he made bitter water sweet to the little piece of salt. All miracles were just flying everywhere. And then there was remember, he had a temper too. And some children began to make fun of him because he was violated. And he cursed those children, and that wasn't so much for the children's sake, it was for the parents that didn't raise up the children to respect God. That's what it was. The parents lost their children because, see, she bears still 42 of them, must have been 100 or more, running after Elijah, and going right down through Samaria, where they'd have the word preached along and the prophet. But do you see something there? It was the people's attitude towards God's messenger. Never in the world was God's messenger ever received by the Ecclesiastics. Show me in the Word where it ever was. Never. The church, so-called, since the very beginning of time, has rejected the true message of God every time. And you can't expect it to be any less today. When Jesus came, he was rejected. And he said, which one of you or your fathers didn't stone the prophet? Which one didn't reject the prophet? Now look at this little story right here. Read between the lines. I love it, don't you? Between the lines. Now look at these little children going out making fun of this preacher that was bald-headed. Look what they said to him. Go up, thou bald-head, like Elijah. Won't you? They didn't believe that Elijah went up. They doubted it. The priest and them had told him, perhaps. Oh, he didn't go up. It's just some fanaticism. And that guy's supposed to be anointed with the same anointing. He was anointed all month. So tell him to go up. And here went the little kid. Bring up a child, away did you go? Nearly went down because the parents didn't believe it. And how can you expect your children to go to Sunday school and serve the Lord when you yourself don't even go? How can you expect your children to be something when you're nothing? That's a little sassy, but don't view it that way. But he had to the same, so is he not premeditating? All right, but that's, I didn't mean he wasn't nothing, but I mean, when you know that you make no perfection, how can you expect your children to be righteous when you're putting such an example before them? How can you do it? You're the best example that they have. They're going to look to you when they look, won't look for no one else. Because your nature is in them. Like Satan, he knows a whole lot about human beings. He said to God, to Job, he said, what would a man give for his skin? Sure, he knows something about human nature. He helped pervert it. You know, he had a hand in it. He knows a whole lot about it. He still knows how to, what to do to cause people to fall. He knows human nature. He knows just from what to present before you to make you fall from it. He knows just how well to put the smell of whiskey, how tantalizing to make a cigarette, how well to put a place out there of a young boy and girl just in a teenage drink and beer. He don't want to place the picture a few years later and look like those daddy out of hags. Right. He'd be dashing to pull a picture of a complete nude woman, but he knows just how much clothes to take off of her to make her comfortable. Sure he does. He knows human nature. He knows how to catch you in it, too. And he's going to work day and night, going about like a roaring lion to buy him what he wants. Certainly he is. So there, he knew just how to do that. But God turned around. And in Elijah, he cursed those children, and 42 of them were killed by bears. They ran out of those woods and killed the 42 of the children, because they were disobedient and then raised in the wrong kind of a home in the wrong school. To make fun of God's prophet instead of respecting God's prophet. I'll tell you, as you respect God's servant, you respect God. As you respect Christ, you respect God. Now, who is God's major servant? Not some man here on earth. It's the Holy Ghost.
Right.
And that's the one you make fun of. That's the one that people laugh at. Say, now, look at them people. Don't be that funny. I believe they're a little bit crazy. When you do that, you're making fun of God. Right. And you'll commit the unpardonable sin, and it'll never be forgiven you. This world over the world will come, for Jesus said, if you speak a word against it, it'll never be forgiven. So, Elijah, he had to pass through a little place called Shunem. It's not very well mentioned about it. I think they were in Joshua when they were dividing the land. He mentioned this little place Shunem was. But every little spot, God's going to have a witness somewhere. So there had to be a real lady lived up there in Shunem. And she was a loyal woman, a real lady. Her husband was an elderly man. And it comes to pass that Elijah, when he would go through, he went up to Mount Carmel. And on the road up, he had to pass through Shunem in order to get to Mount Carmel. Now, Elijah had a cave up there. He had a special cave where he went to pray. By the way, that's what it was. A cave. Up in Mount Carmel, he went up there at the new moon and on Sabbath to pray. Well, he wasn't very well wanted in the city, I suppose. Well, this woman must have seen him as he passed through and seen him rejected. And Shunem was just about as far up as he could get in his journey, and he had to stay there overnight. So he would rest there, maybe in the street, or in the woods, in the field somewhere, as he passed by. And maybe sometime without food. And this good woman, as she went up into the city, quickly, she spotted this man and knew that he was a holy man. Now, she being a Shunammite, yet in her heart she was a believer. And no matter where the person is that is a believer, God in some way will get the true message to him just as certain as he's God. Right. He'll manage to get it somewhere. He'll put an ache on somebody's heart somewhere. You'll like him. You'll hear testimony. Turn the radio or something else. You'll hear the true message. God will grant that to them. And this woman, perhaps maybe, let's say, one day she went up in the street and she heard someone preaching on the street corner. And she seen him rejected. And she knew that was a servant of God. So I can imagine after Elisha got through preaching, she said, "Kind sir, would you go and meet my husband? I will fix you all some lunch right away." Well, I can hear Elijah say, "Thank you, ma'am. I'll be glad to do that, for I'm a bit hungry after your message." And down to the house they went. She goes in and introduces her husband to this prophet, and Jahisa, the servant, and she made some cake ready, like cookies, some little dandies, some little cookies, and so forth. And got away with a little Danish woman last evening and sent me a box of cookies and some things to take. I know she's not, she can't understand English anyhow. She's here, probably don't want to know what the right hand, know what the left hand's doing. And I thank you each one for your little tokens and blessings. I appreciate them. And this little Danish woman sent me some cookies to take home to her baby, and said they were Danish, and she couldn't write English, so I had someone else to write it. Now I'm having an awful time to keep out of them. Before I take them to the ship, I'm having an awful time. I walked back and forth and looked at them, and back the other side and looked at them. Well, I'm trying to make it out till they go home. So maybe this woman set a plateful of them on the table, and Elijah had a real jubilee, and he thanked the woman for it. And time after time he passed by, so the good woman of impression or revelation. Do you believe in solid revelation? Certainly. I believe the church is built up on divine revelation. And as she was inspired to do something for this man, I can hear say one day to your husband, now look here, we can do this. We have plenty, we have good farms and so forth, and we're able to do this. Now, we are both believers in Jehovah, and this is his servant. Now, let's do something nice for him, and in doing for him, we'll be doing for Jehovah. And after all, you're getting aged, and I'm in the middle age, so it won't be long, we'll all fall somewhere, we have no children or nothing to go to. So let's just do something nice for Jehovah by entertaining his prophet. For I perceive that he is a holy man, and he passes this away. She called him the man of God, for she seen God working in him, and she knew that God was in this prophet. And she wanted to give respect to God, and the only way she could give respect to God was to respect the servant of God. Now friends, that's the way you do it. It's when you respect God's order. That's true. Here not long ago, I say this with respect to my Catholic friends here tonight, and like many of my people are Catholic. But I say this not to hurt you. Never. I never come for that. I come to bless you. And nothing to say anything against your religion. For I say this, if the Protestant religion is true to his teaching as the Catholic did to his, we'd have a different world. Right. But what they're called, they believe. But not long ago in the Vatican, I went over to see the Vatican. I was having a meeting there for 2 nights, right in Rome. And the next day, in a stone throw of the Vatican, they take me over to see something strange. It was a great church. And down beneath, they had like a vineyard, or I would say a planting place. And when the monk died, they take him there and planted him, like you would seize in the ground, and let him stay there until the meat falls from the bone. Then they take the bone and polish it up and make light fixtures and make places and put the skulls on the corner. And it's just lying and packed up all high as ceiling, just all kinds of bones of the monk. Have many of their bones turning back to the dust. And to see the superstition of the people, they had rubbed those bones until they would almost rub them in two. And just little superstitions like that. God doesn't dwell in bones. God dwells in spirit, in mankind. The impulse of the heart as it beats through man. God has servants. You say, well, what about when they laid the man on Elijah's bones? And he came to you. Well, that just happened to be a time that was not exactly a coincidence, and yet it was true. Because there was an alien army coming after these people, and they didn't know, they didn't put him in there purposely, they just threw him in there, and God raised him up right quick when he struck Elijah's bones in order to run away the army. Not anything in the bones of Elijah was in gold. Amen. So God dwells in human beings. Amen. Now, The only way people will see Jesus when they see him in you. You are a written epistle. Christ's Spirit dwells in you and brings your conduct into subjection to his Spirit and makes you act like him and talk like him, walk like him, live like him. See? People see Jesus in you. That was the old song, let others see Jesus in you. And so this woman had seen God in Elijah. And she said, I think it's nice now. If we do something for this servant of God, God will respect it. But she was just a few hundred years ahead of time. Jesus said, if you give one of my disciples a cup of cold water at the judgment, it won't be forgotten. We fail to see the power that God has placed in his people. God is in his people. Do you believe that? God was with his people one time when he walked on earth. But now God is in his people. A little while the world sees me no more, yet you'll see me for I. There's no pronoun now. Will be with you and in you to the end of the world. God dwells, moves, works in mankind. Hallelujah. God doesn't work through orders, he doesn't work through organizations, he works through individuals. God works in man. God doesn't do the work today. He energizes or projects his Spirit into man to do so. He said, I am the vine. The vine don't bear fruit. We are the branches. And as David Duplessis said to me today at noon, if these lazy Pentecostal people would get up and do something instead of trying to take a ringside seat and what God did, the church would be moving on. Get up and move. God's expecting you. You are the branches. Your hands is his hands. Your lips is his lips. Your thoughts is his thoughts. As I said last night, Nathan said to David, do all that's in your heart, for God's with you. God is with his people, in his people. God in you, the hope of glory. See? God is in his people. He's tabernacled. Once in this pure, unadulterated body of the Lord Jesus by virgin birth, and that blood cell was broke, and he made a way, you couldn't do it, you couldn't merit it. But he merited your life. And God, after dwelling in Christ and giving himself as a ransom for reconciliation to bring man and God together and unite them together again. When did God and man come together? Heaven and earth shift. Man and God was reconciled. There you are. Now, watch this now. As this woman, her motive, her first pure mind, her heart's desire was to do something for God. And the way she could do it was to help this man of God. And she knew he was a man of God. So she said, I pray thee, my husband, let us do something nice for the man. Well, they said, what would it be? Said, let's go get the carpenter, the contractor, go up, and let's build him a little room by the side of our house, by the wall, that when he comes by, he can call it his own. Just let him have it. And let's put a little stool and a bed and a table. And little did she know that she was building the tomb of her own child and was building a place that she'd see the most wonderful thing that ever took place in that day. So she was helping this man of God. And her husband said, dear, I believe that would be just right. So they get the carpenters, go together, and come up and built this nice little room on the side. Well, Elijah come by one day, and I could imagine seeing how she fixed it up. Could you imagine that little woman like a little darkness or something? She goes up there, and I can see her just polish the floors with the old scrub brush, you know, with the pine boards just shined. Want to see a picture of those two again, put a little pad on it. He said he'll be so tired just serving of God when he comes down. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to make the bed just as soft with feathers as I can, and make it just as nice, and put a nice straw kick beneath it or something. And I'm going to have it just as nice as it can be for this children. I'll keep, I'm going to come up every day. I'm going to sign up the window. And what I'm going to do, I'll bring a little bouquet of flowers every day and set it on the roof. He comes by, and I'll put a little welcome mat at the door. And I'm going to tack a little speech on the side of the door and say, "Dear humble servant of God, this is my gratitude towards God. I give this in God's name to you." Oh, and one day, Elijah come by. I'd imagine the fire in the room is burning so pretty. He go out early in the morning and pick them, you know. The early in the morning, the dew settles down. There's something about the quietness of a night. Alone, the dew falls and it freshens. Oh, if we would only get quiet and alone with God, how the dew would strengthen us, take the wilt out of us, and make us fresh. Did you ever go into a rose garden early in the morning? Did you ever go into a honeysuckle bed early in the morning? And the whole air is just bathed with fragrance. Oh, how I love that. Down in my part of the country in Indiana, I get up early and turn on the switch key and get out some work where the locusts are these honeysuckles when they're blooming. And I just sit to the side of the road and just, oh, how I just love to smell it and to look at it and see those little honeysuckles standing up. I said, "Oh, God, in the run of the day and in the run of the days, if I get all wealthy and indifferent, let me lay in your presence in the closet alone with you. Then I come out fresh again." Oh, my. That's what God wants to do. With the fragrance of prayer all over, covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus. How fresh we are before the angels then. How fresh we are in the presence of God. I can see her pick a nice bouquet this morning of honeysuckles and stick it on the roof. Oh, I trust that the man of God may be by today. He cleans up his little place and shuts the door and pins it on. And after a while, a weary, tired prophet comes up the road, his feet sore, dragging a little staff along, a little crook of all by his side. Well, I can hear him say, "Gaeza, you know, some our Shunammite friends there, they build a little room out there. I wonder if they have somebody who's come to stay with them. I just wonder why that's being built." Gaeza said, "Say, master, there's a little note on the door. Oh, maybe someone else owns it. Let's go see." And Elijah goes over and leaves, "Dear servant of God, we thought it good in the sight of God to do this in the name of God for you. And we hope that you enjoy your stay each time. If we can be of any further service or blessing and help you, just let us know. We're at your service." And when he reads that, I can see a tear trickle down old days and speak like that. Oh, isn't it wonderful? And Elijah, "Look, guys, look at the doormat. Welcome. Now, isn't that just fine? You know, Elijah, I feel just as welcome to be in here as if I did it myself." That's right. That's the way you want to feel. That's the way you want to give. Give with a free heart. Give unto the Lord. And so he goes in and says, "Now look here. Oh my, Elijah stretched himself out up on this bed, took off his sandals, and Asa took his staff and set it in the corner and pulled a little water out and give him a rag to wash his dusty face like that. Oh, the prophet was so blessed. He lay there. After him, he said, "Gehazi, go call this Shunammite. But first, before you go, let me smell those honeysuckles." And now that blessed his soul. And he set it down and went and called. And she stood at her door. And he said, "Ask her if I could speak to the chief captain for her, because he's a bosom friend of mine. Or if I could speak to the king, the mayor of the city, whoever it is. I know them. Maybe I could speak to them for her. What could I do to repay this?" Oh, she said, "Nothing. Nothing, think nothing of it. Because it's just a little token of love to God that I give to you." Gehazi come back and bring the message. And, "But Gehazi, what can we do for her? For all this time, it surely is to be something." And about that time, Gehazi said, "Well, master, she has no children. And you know what? Her husband's an old man. And I can see a vision for him in the front of Elijah. Said, go tell her to come here just a minute. I want to talk to her. Said, go tell her to come here. And she stood there and said, just about the time of life, I'll tell you the time of life. This time, next year, you'll embrace the sun. How do you know, Elijah? I didn't see. He'll be here. And how the spirit of Elijah still lives? Sure does. It's still the spirit of God. It wasn't Elijah, it was God. And said, about this time next year, according to the time of life, you will have a son. She said, oh, don't lie to me, man of God. And he said, well, you just go in other ways and you'll see. Just go on. Because it already seen the vision. It's all over. So then, just about the time of life, she embraced the sign. Oh, how happy she was. Her husband, an old man, her middle age, and here they had a lovely little child. What a blessing a child is to a home. How it brightens up everything. Wish we had time here to stop and tell of the daring women that I've had to come and say, pray for me, Brother Branham. Standing on the platform, sees visions of women as past age of bearing. And they're embracing children right now. Because the God of Elijah still lives. Here a few days ago, standing at Streetport, I dedicated a baby. A little woman had been married for about 15 years. And her husband very healthy, just understand. Left the husband was a steal her one. And they couldn't understand why they couldn't have any children. And she's in the prayer line. She started up. I said, just a moment, lady. You're coming here to ask for a child. Thus saith the Lord. I see you standing on that same step with a boy baby with brown hair and brown eyes in your arms. For thus saith the Lord, you shall have it. And she turned and began weeping and went down and embraced her husband. About 3 months ago, standing at the same spot I dedicated to the Lord, a brown-eyed and brown-haired baby of that woman, dedicated to the Lord. Why is it Brother Stockman sitting here somewhere in the building tonight? Very fine Christian brother from Canada. A few years ago, about 8 years ago, standing over there, I just in around the year, there's 50 or 75 of these things happened. There was a lady who came to me. And she was very nice, and she brought me big jars full of juices and things, and wife and I was there. And she said, oh, Brother Branham, how I enjoyed the messages. I said, thank you, sister. And she said, I certainly believe you as a servant of the Lord. I said, thank you, sister. God rewards you for that. And she said, while she was saying that, I saw a vision. Now, she was way in her middle age. This has been 8 years ago. And she said, oh, Brother Branham, she said, I said, sister, thus saith the Lord, I see you standing holding a baby in your arms in a little blanket. And she said, me? I said, yes, ma'am, you, it's thus saith the Lord. And she said, I hope you're right. I said, it isn't me speaking, it's thus saith the Lord. Well, 2 or 3, 4 years passed, she began to doubt it. Not long ago, when Mr. Baxter and I were up, I was in the island of British Columbia amongst the Indians and had a little meeting up there, come down with Brother Ralph Mutton, who's here sitting right here now. We come back down to Calgary. And mommy was in Edmonton, I rather. And while we was at Edmonton the night of the service, I was coming back from being hunting, as we had the meeting, and stopped him. Her husband met me there, a very noble man. And he said, I had just a little thin coat on because it was early fall and it was warm here yet. It was pretty cold in Canada. He wanted to give me that overcoat. The man has never failed in the last 7 years to send tithe money to support the missionary program that I'm supporting. Never. He's been a lawman, a good man. And And standing there that night, he won't take off his coat and give it to me. I said, no, Brother Scoble, bless your heart, certainly not. And then at Christmas time, he always sends a nice little cake or something to the kiddies or little dolly or something. You have to be nice. Not because you snort it away, but you get that kind of man. And so standing out there, he said, Brother Dan, I'm a builder, and I build for the government. But you know, there has been a prophet tell us that I should not go up into around a Dawson Church, a little above there, I forget the name of the place, to build a post office For he tells us that the Russians are ready to make a march through Canada to the United States and will clean the whole British Columbia out as they come down. Well, I never went without a man's word. Now, you must never do that. And so I said, well, maybe that is so, Brother Doble. I said, nah. And that is a prophet said that? Yes. So, not loving, brother. He said, oh, I don't know what I'll do now. And said, I'm out of work. But yet, that was such a wonderful job. I slipped off and went out and knelt down and started praying. And when it did, the angel of the Lord come to go tell him, thus saith the Lord. Get on up there, because the man's wrong. And said, so, I also speak to him to tell his wife to watch that doubting that she's doing about that baby. So I went back and I said, Brother Gable, not to discredit your brother, your friend, whoever it is. The man might have been impressed to say that. Now, you, I don't have to have anything like about brother. No, sir. But I said, I have as a servant of the Lord, thus saith the Lord. You will be safe and be blessed. Go to the work. He said, if you say that, Brother Branham, I believe it. I said, tell your wife to get doubting about that baby. That's been about 3 years ago. Well, last week the baby was born. After 8 years and something, God's word is eternally true. And the same God that lived in the Old Testament is the same God that lives today. I'm just to go crazy. Why? What am I trying to say? It's Jesus Christ that was back there with Elijah. It's Jesus Christ with you today. That's with you, in you, through you, over you. Christ, he's the same. Man, when this baby was come up to be of an age, along about 10 or 12 years old, oh, how happy that family was with this little boy. Now listen close before we start the prayer line. We want to make the promise here, God willing. Now watch this little fella. Oh, I can imagine this little Shunammite boy as he jumped over the stairs and pulled off all the things and everything. But oh, it's all right. That was a boy. The only time. I know what it is. I got one. And so, oh, how he just go on and daddy when he come into the field at night, he'd grab the little fellow and bounce him up and down. Oh, how could you not love a little fellow like that? No matter how mischievous you are, that's all right. I'll tell you, they're only that way once and that. How do you know that you're not holding a pocket on your arm? How do you know when Abraham Lincoln's mother picks up that little baby down at the duchess in a strip little cabin on an old shuck bed and those little hands that stuck him on the hair on the face, how did she know the greatest president was ever in the United States had on his feet? How did Charles G. Finney, who sent a million souls to Christ, how did his mother thought when he was a little baby and patting him on the hair on the cheek that he was having little hands patting on the face like that would point the way to a million people to glory? How did Moses' father and mother, or Elijah and the rest of them, certainly love those little fellows? And where this little fellow just jumping and romping and playing, still got big enough to go out in the field with his daddy. So he goes out in the field and he's playing on that one eight. Now, I believe he's got a sunstroke. But I'll sit down there. He began to say, oh, my head, about 11 o'clock in the day. Oh, my head. And so they didn't have air conditioning that day like you have now. So he had a servant to set the little boy on a mule and take him up to his mother. And she put him on her lap and began to rock him and do everything she could for him. And about noon, he died. Now, up about a dark hour, how could that woman at that time, what was she doing? The darkest hour that ever struck her life. What happened? The midnight stroke. You know what else would have been wailing and screaming and crying and saying, oh, that's what we would have done. But now, oh, she was a woman of faith. You know what she did? She called on that God that she loved. Hallelujah! An inspiration that led her to do a favor for the prophet to take that baby and lay him on that prophet's bed where he slept. What a place to take him. Just exactly right. So I can see her pick the little fellow up in her arms and kiss him, brush his little curly hair back like that, walk out the outside down here, follow him, screaming to the top before it, and all the neighbors are waiting. her walking quietly, heel run down once in a while. But it wasn't all finished yet. It would have been if she had no hope. But there was something inside of her. Hallelujah. She knows how she got him. She knows the lips of spoken here. She knows there was a God of heaven. As Daniel said, there is a God of heaven. Certainly. And she helped the little fellow. Now, if she had felt like it was all over, it would have been all over. But down in her heart, there was something moving. When all hope was gone, yet something began to move. When all reason was gone, we cast down reason. It ain't what you could think in your mind, your intellect. It's what your soul tells you, what your heart tells you. I could see her walking out through that little rose garden, down the little path, over to the little corner, open up the door, the welcome mat. She stepped over here, this man of God stepped over and laid the little fellow down. That Elijah's killer here, that holy man of God, laid and stuck it back on his little head and put a little blanket up over his face. And she walked back out and everybody screaming and going on. And she said, God on me and you. And God, and let's go to Mount Carmel as fast as we can go. And don't you stop us, I'll tell you to stop. Oh, her husband said, it's neither new moon or Sabbath. The prophet only twice this year. On those certain days, he goes up there to fast and pray. Up in that little cave. Well, now, is there need to go in? He said, all is well. Amen. That just thrills me every time I think of it. What was it? Something in her heart told her Elijah was there. It just won't fool you, that's all. It's divine revelation. Surely. The same thing that said, fix this to this holy man. Give this holy man this nice little patient ticket. That same revelation, the same fear, the same power, same Elijah's up there, go get him. Oh, praise God. If that revelation has got this audience of people tonight that Jesus has raised from the dead right here now, you wouldn't go out of here with a need. There wouldn't be a single person left in here. Sure. She said, now, it's all right. Now I can see her husband put that little side saddle on. And he helped her, she put her little teeny foot up in there and lifted her up. She stepped on the little donkey and pulled a little shawl across her face, kissing goodbye and blessing. She said, that's my dad. Don't you cry. Don't you cry. Never let the matter. Don't you cry. Don't you cry. Well, why are you taking it so lightly, dear? My heart feels the same as yours, but there's something happened. There's something in me tells me I must see the man of God right away. And she said to the servant, who led the news, of course, so now you run along the front and don't you even stop or check up, just I tell you, dear. On up to the line, she'll go on a hot, just a couple of minutes of you, a singing the praises of God. Oh, man. Well, Elijah sat back there, been reading the scroll down, you know. What all was taking place? Sitting back there, the host was sitting at the door nodding. And see Elijah rub his eyes and look out. He said, the host is yes, master. He jumped up. Well, here comes that tree tonight. Go see what you want. Ask if everything's well, for the head of the husband is sound. So the host went out there and said, is all well with thee? Go well with our husband. Go well with the child. What you going to say, sister? What you going to say? Well, now, if I am counting on intellect, I say, oh, merciful God, oh, my baby's down. But there's something down in me that says something different. She said, all is well. Oh, everything's all right. Oh, my, that is passing on reason. That's making the world of poetry different. That's what science would say was crazy. But you got what you asked for. So what difference does it make? She said, everything's all right. Everything's just perfectly all right. So she ran up to him, jumped off a little side saddle. The little fellow turned a little donkey around to start back. And Elijah said, now her heart's all broke about something, because I can see that tear in her eye. But you know, God tells me tell me everything. God don't say he's prophets everything. No, no, just as he will. Now, he said, now, her heart's broke, and she's all upset about something, so I don't know what it is. And she began to reveal it to him, and to tell him what had happened. Well, Elijah said, now, wait a minute, no vision. What am I going to do? I haven't seen nothing, I don't know what to say, but I know one thing, there's a God of heaven that lives. That's one thing. And I know that when I had the anointing on me many times, when I walked this old stick coming around up to that purpose, the anointing was on me. So, Gehazi, you're my servant. I want you to pull up your arms right quick, put on the whole armor. I want you to take this stick that I've been walking on, this flesh, and I want you to go lay it on the town. And if anybody tries to stop you, go pay no attention to him. That's what the trouble today is with us preachers. That's what the devil of us church members. God give us a mission to care to the lost and dying for the resurrection to everlasting life. And we stopped and had socials and shops and parties and tea parties and suppers and six and four and so and so and everything else. So why do we think that we're just in the dead? But don't we say anything but take this message. So Elijah told us, the boy started off with the stick. But you know, the woman's faith, she didn't know about God being in that stick. But she knew God was in that prophecy. And she said, as the Lord your God lives, you holy man of God, I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to say that with you, see what you're going to do. Well, I like that. Stay in your tent. Don't give back. Stay with it. She had a revelation. She had a vision, as it was, a revelation. That something Elijah had something for her. She's going to stay till she's seen it through. And said, as the Lord God lives, I'll not leave you. Elijah said, well, I guess you think that there ain't no other way. I'll put on my shoes and take off. So he slipped on his sandals, and here come him and the woman. Look at this side. There's a little dark boy running along with his stick in his hand. Everybody said, hello, boy, here's the house of Elijah's money. Oh, no welcome at all. Amen. Someone said, oh, what's that old stick in your hand, boy? I'll be here in certain parts. I'm going to tell you you're an unbeliever anyhow, so just keep on going. I got a work to do. Just keep on. Well, after a while, look, coming across the hill, here comes this woman. Holy to Elijah, let it come. Across the hill. I can see the father stand out there and say, oh, here she comes. Here she comes. And the young fellow said, outrunning both. So he went in and laid the stick on the side and said, well, we'll see if it works. No, I don't believe it's going to work. Hey, listen, now let me just a minute. This is me. I have to go to all the lessons like it anyhow. Now, just a minute. I don't think it's going to work. That's funny. Don't let it lay there long enough. See? So he grabbed up the stick again and underneath it. He said, it don't work. That's what the message says today. That's the reason it don't work. Here come Elijah. I look at a scene. Where Elijah walked in, the neighbors all screaming and crying. Here was a defeated servant saying, well, my master told me to do this, but his word sure failed. That goes to show he's a man. That's all there is to it. Here come Elijah, no vision and nothing else to work on. Here was a woman with faith in her heart. I see Elijah look over and say, well, if I haven't got much, I can work with yours. That's all right. I'll go up on your revelation. Walks up the house of fire and said, oh, holy man of God. Oh, my poor little boy's been dead now for several hours. Oh, holy man of God. I need to don't sit. Fellas, and I'll just stay right out here now and be in prayer. Walks up to the door like you had before. Opened up the door, looked down from that welcome mat. Opened up the door, looked in there, but there's no bunch of honeysuckle sitting there. Look, laying on the bed, there's a little thorn laying under a sheet. I can see him pull that back and look, say, well, that poor little fellow's eyes are shut, his mouth open. He's stiff, he's cold. Elijah said, Lord, I don't know what to do. Goes over and kneels down and said, my father, what can I do? Bows flat. Well, listen. Then he just up and walks back and forth. And he goes over, and all at once he happened to think of something. Now, God lives in man. Do you believe it? if they lay my hands on the sick, that don't sound right, does it? If these signs shall follow them that believe, if they lay my hands on the sick, they shall recover. That don't sound right, does it? If they lay their hands on the sick, for I will be with them in them. If they lay their hands on the sick, they shall recover. God and Elijah, he knows that decency he had with God. He knows that inspiration he had with God. God dwelt in him. So he had a revelation. He goes over, stretches his little boy's hands out, lays his hands on his hands, his nose on his nose, his forehead against his, and lay there just a minute. He got up and said, Lord, I don't know. Lay his hands down. The little boy got warm. He said, well, got out, walk back and forth again. I don't know what to do. That's why the revelation said, do the same thing again. So he goes and lays his face against the little boy's face, his lips against the little boy's lips, and when he did that, the Spirit of God in that man was projected into that child, and he sees seven times and come to life. Hallelujah! Brother, God has never changed. Just the same God tonight that he was then. The God of Elijah, the God of Moses, the God of Abraham, the God of the Lord Jesus is right here with us tonight in the form of the Holy Ghost. The only thing it is with you people and I, if we don't have faith to call him into action, life, if your faith will be quickened and will move out and have every shadow taken away from it, God will do the miracles that he did in the days gone by. He is still working out among you. Do you believe it? Let us pray. With your heads bowed, your hearts open before God, I wonder just now if some of you here are worse type of dead than that little boy was. That little boy was physically dead. I wonder if you have been spiritually dead to these things. Never believed it before, never believed it. But tonight, something strange that you feel like if you are to write tonight, like the Shunammite woman was. Something in my heart tells me that this Bible is right, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I realize that I'm a mortal man or woman, boy or girl, and I've got to stand in his presence. And right now is my time to make my decision. But I'll accept him as my personal Savior and receive eternal life. While he put his hands on my hands, and his seared heart pressing against my sinful heart, and asking to take all sin and to bring me to life again, will you raise up your hand? And by doing that, say, Brother Branham, remember me in prayer when you call. God bless you, Dr. God bless you, you. God bless you. My hand's just going up everywhere. I now want Jesus to take me and embrace me to his bosom and all the Spirit of God that works through Joseph, through Abraham, through Isaac, through Jacob, Joseph, Elijah, Moses, all the prophets. And then finally wound up in the full Godhead bodily in the Lord Jesus. And he projected out tonight, and that's his truth thing that your heart sore. And Lord, if you're passing by my way, I want to lay out a welcome mat at my little door. And I want to enlighten myself with the perfume of the lily of the valley. I want you to come in and make your staying with me. Abide with me, Lord, for someday I'm going to be physically gone, and only you and your embrace can call me back to a life again. And I know I accept you in your program, and by God's grace, I love you and stay with you and serve you as long as I live. If there's somebody that did not raise up their hands a few minutes ago, I have about 2 dozen. Would you raise your hands and say, I just now feel like I ought to do it, Brother Bellman. Raise my hands to Christ and say, by this Christ, I mean that I will serve you. Anywhere in the balconies, around or anywhere,
on your hands that did not go up a while ago. God bless you, lady. God bless you, lady. God bless you over there, lady. God bless you back there, lady. God bless you, my brother. God bless you back there, young man. I see your hands surely, God bless. Up the balcony, God bless you. Someone else. Say, by this, my hands up. God bless you, young man. I see you, and certainly God bless you all. Now, God bless this colored brother sitting there. God bless you, my friend. God bless you back there, also, colored sister sitting back there. And the elderly man, colored man, gray hair with your hands up. I want to receive Jesus. God bless you. God bless this lady here with both hands up. Heart open. God bless this lady sitting here with her hand up. Not long ago, while you were praying, your head down. Cold in my room that morning. I couldn't get the fire to burn. Sister Cato, come on the air singing, I want to see Jesus, thank you. My Savior, so faithful and true. When I've reached that land on the far away shore, I want to see Jesus, thank you. Our Heavenly Father, that's the desire of every heart tonight here. Oh, look at them now. Maybe 15, 25 people raise their hands. They want to receive you just now. Oh, great Spirit, that started out back in the early days, lived in the man who lives in the hearts of your prophets, and down to the age you come and vindicated yourself. How did you go to climb that mountain, looking back over Jerusalem, rejected by his own? And he wept as he went up to the mountain. And just a few hundred years after that, we see the Son of David rejected, sitting on that same mountain, saying, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I have hovered you as a hymn of truth that you would not, if you'd only know your day of visitation. Dear Father, tonight in my heart, I feel the Holy Spirit crying out, oh, America, America, how oft would the Holy Spirit would give you a real outpouring of a revival? How He would have dwelled you and helped you in faces. But I believe you didn't understand the day of your visitation. You spawned the prophets, you called them fanatics, you put them in jail, you... Oh, how oft would He have suffered you? And tonight, Lord, to the individuals, God seldom deals with a nation, but to deal with individuals, and tonight hands is went up and wants to embrace you, Lord. I pray that the Holy Spirit will show those people that you love them and embrace them into your bosom just now. And when this service is over, Father, I pray that they'll go out of here the happiest people that there is in Chicago. Glory, Father. For now I quote your word to you. This is your word, the living word. You said, according to the Bible, he that heareth my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall never come to the judgment, but pass from death to life. And these people have raised their hands in your presence that they believe you. Then, Father, I have the scriptural right to say that they pass from death to life. And they've been resurrected here tonight, alive. And I thank you for it. And I pray, God, that you will let us live such lives here that when the world is to come, we're over there in the kingdom of God. As the war clouds is unsettled, the arms are stacked, peace reigns in every heart, may we sit down by the tree of life and be happy, Lord, that this night was that they accepted you. We ask this for you to keep them until that time in Christ's name. And how many feels real good like it is? The Lord just styles us out, doesn't it? Just makes us feel different. Now, I said I'd be early. Here I am late. I'm usually that way. But I wonder tonight, and I'll let you hear, what's that for? These hot rocks. He forgot. All right, I'll say please. 50 to 100. All right. was prayer card B, number one, raise up your hand. Look on your prayer card to B. I want to ask Brother Woods, some of the ushers or them, if they'll take their place right down here just a minute. We'll go around a great line of people. All right? B50. Who has B50? Raise your hand. B51. 52. All right, 52. Just start lining up here. 54. 55. 56. 57. 58. 59. 60. Now, as he shares and so forth, he says he needs to pray for you as that church would lead you, and you get well, you'll always serve him and love him, won't you? You know, I got a little girl at home, Rebecca, and she's just about your size, maybe a little bit smaller. How old are you, honey?
11.
11. I think she's 10 now. And she loves the Lord Jesus, too. And little Rebecca cried the other day when I left. She don't like to see me leave home, but you know, God knows that you was up here. And he wanted me to come pray for you so you could be healthy and strong. Don't you believe that? Does Lord see that? Come here, sweetheart. Now, Heavenly Father, days are gone and years are passed by. And you're still the same great Jehovah God. And this little child, at this age and with heart trouble, is beyond the doctor's care. But thou, Lord, can heal. Now I'm thinking of my own dear brother when he stuck his heart out and went his fingers through the valve trying to open him, and they wouldn't do it. And standing there with bowed head, his face drew out, his eyes shut. You brought him back and he lives today. Oh, Christ, I embrace this child. It's some man's darling. It's your child too, Lord. And take this curse of heart trouble from her. And may she start mending from this hour and be a well child, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. God bless you, honey. I want you to do me a favor, and you do this now. Will you, after about 3 days, be 70 hours, will you write me a letter and tell me that you was the little girl I prayed for and tell me how you progressed? Will you do that? And then if the doctor examines you, say, hey, you're getting along a lot better. And you write and tell me that. Will you do it? Bless you. Your trouble, brother. All right. You come in a representative way. Do you believe that God will answer prayer?
Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, as we stand for a friend, I ask that your Holy Spirit go to that friend and restore him to his right condition. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Oh, God bless you, brother. Ah. Your trouble, brother. Dear God, laying hands upon my brother, I condemn the evil and all for you in Jesus' name. May he rejoice like the other brothers. Amen. God bless you, brother. How do you deal with your trouble? Oh, God bless you. Father, God, thou always are faithful. And I bless this brother. And as I pray in Jesus' name, that my body touching his, may the power of the Holy Ghost touch him and give him his desire. Amen. God bless you, brother. Let me hear something. Restore, Lord, this woman's health. As my body touches her through my hands, as thy word is said, lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to get a check on that and not me. I want to find out what they say. Now, what's the trouble, brother? Quickly. Oh, excuse me, brother Joseph. Come, brother. Give me your hand. My Heavenly Father, his loving companion is sick, and I bless this handkerchief. And as the Israelites were backed up at the Red Sea, and their enemy had them cornered, but they had a promise. And the Spirit of God came down and looked up on the waters, and got scared, and it moved back, and Israel went to the promise. God, this is your promise. And I extend this handkerchief to his wife, and when it touches her, May the enemy see it as a promise of God. And may he just sort of move away and make you go to the promise of good health. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Let me hear from him. God bless you.
All right. The baby? Yeah. A sick devil. Oh, step and down. Oh, bless your little heart. Now, you believe Jesus will restore it here in his feet? You do?
All right.
I'm going to pray for it. I want you to see what happens to it. Now, dear Heavenly Father, to the death and bone shock, I pray that you'll move this spirit from the child and make it to hear and speak. And grant this, Lord, because the child is just a baby, but thou art God. And I pray that you grant it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll just be good about a minute. Now, this is not passing out to see. It's out of vision. I don't know what it's called. But just a minute, I'm sure if God heals the child. Keep your head down now.
She can do it.
Mama, can you say that? Mama,
what is it? See her eyes turn around, look and see where it's coming from. Now she's never spoke, you see, so she can't just. That's just.
Mom.
I feel what she sees, sister. Take her out here somewhere and step in the car to get it, see? She's salvation can call. I can say, because that's just me. But my faith says that she's healed.
Yeah.
I believe. I think. And she can hear, I know that. She can hear that. She can hear it. But I think she can speak to both words on the same word. You can always think she's going to say mama. Get her to say mama, something like that. Like God bless you. Let me hear something. All right. Good devil, sir. No, the sick devil. Christ can heal that, don't you believe it? Okay. Our Heavenly Father, I bless this man and lay hands upon him and ask that this nervous disorder leave him. And this blessing I ask in Jesus' name, amen. I look down. Nervousness is the hardest thing there is to fight, towards the cancer. Because you think mentally, balance yourself right. You see, you think it's a mind right now. But now you start from out now knowing that you're standing in the presence of God. And say, this hour, right now, I am healed. You go out saying the same thing, say it, and you actually believe it. See, you really believe it. And then you get well. Do you do that? Not go rejoicing and let me know what happens to you. No trouble, sir? Come back here, sir. Oh, yes. Buzzing in your ear and a weakened right hip. Let you be God and make you well, sir? Our Heavenly Father, you know respect of age, person, and I, as your servant, lay hands upon this, my brother, that I'm very conscious now that I'll stand with him in the day of judgment and ask that you heal him and make him well, knowing that this is the time, and I pray as the affectional servant prayer. For if you need, in Christ's name, I ask. Amen. Now, I want you to believe now that you're healed. Now, I just want to touch your ear and ask God to heal you and make it to heal you and everything all right. I want you to believe that your leg's better. Feel your leg, see if you feel any better, please. You believe it's better to you? It's better? That's very good. And how's the ear? Is better? Oh, I thought you had a healing there. All right, now you go and let me know what happens to the leg and to the ear. Will you write me down here? This is your report. God bless you. All right, now bring the lady. Oh, she can't walk very good. I have to bring it up again. Now, sister, what's your trouble? Paralysis. Asthma and paralysis. Now, there's only one thing can help you, sister dear. That's the Lord Jesus. You're a beautiful young woman. It's such a shame to see you in this condition. I wish I had power to do it. I did, sister. I would. God knows my heart. I don't have. I'm not the one. See, it's already been done. See, Christ did it. And now, only thing I can do is pray for you and ask you to believe that it is done, and Christ will make your body obey your faith. You believe that now? Yes. You, is this your daughter? Do you believe it? Will you let me know how it comes out and what happens? How long has she been this way? Since it's five. Then any improvement would show right away, yes. Are you here in the city? Would you, are you going to be here a few days? Would you let me know the next, say tomorrow night, if there's any improvement? Any of you all could do that? Would you believe with me now that we've got to pray the prayer for you? Our Heavenly Father, is this lovely, young, black-headed, black-eyed young woman stands here. She would be a darling to anyone. I pray for her, Father. The devil has did this, I'm sure. I know not why it is. And I ask you, Lord, as this night is set for this, I lay my hands upon this paralyzed, afflicted young woman and ask with the sincerity of my heart that God the clock will not come back around again until there will be something happen that will cause this mother and her to return to this platform giving you praise and glory. If you do that, Lord, I promise you I'll start praying for the people in this manner and doing all that I can for your people. Let this be an example, Father. I pray in Jesus' name for her healing. Amen. God bless you. Now, you feel better, do you? You do feel better. Well, that's very fine. I believe you are better right now. And I believe you're going to be so much better in the next 24 hours, your mother's going to come here and tell about it. Don't you? And you too. All right, so the Lord bless you now. God bless you. God, I pray that in Christ's name you'll bless this handkerchief for the woman. Amen. God bless you, sister. Now let me hear. Father, grant to this woman her desire. I pray, God, that her heart will be so elated over her daughter that everything that she has for her will be granted to her. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Now, sister, what do you want to be prayed for? Oh, God bless you. Heavenly Father, bless this little woman as she stands here waiting for her turn. I lay hands on her and ask for your blessings to rest on her. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you now. Do you believe that? All right, fine. Your trouble, sir. Stomach trouble. Oh, Father God, I pray for this man's stomach trouble and ask that he be healed. And maybe tomorrow he will come in and bring a letter. My stomach never has bothered me since. In Jesus' name I ask this. Amen. Amen. Let's hear from you, brother. You believe now? Well, right, that's good. What's your trouble, sister? Old person, come here. That's the devil, of course. Our Heavenly Father, bless this lovely young woman standing here. As she looks, she says, old person, feel holding this handkerchief and rubbing her hands together. Know that it's the devil doing that. And I pray, God, that you'll reduce him and make him leave the woman. And may by tomorrow night, Lord, may these people be spreading this place, telling what you've done for us. May she be coming, telling the great praises of God. Amen. God bless you, sister. You believe him? Oh, rejoicing and thanking God. Now, under the arm and cancer in the stomach, you realize it's death, sister, if God doesn't heal you. You must believe now.
I do believe.
Oh, Heavenly Father, as I look in the face of this sincere-looking woman, God, I pray that in Christ's name, that your blessing take all this cancer from her. May it die and not bother her no more. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. I want to hear what happened between now and tomorrow. All right? Now, what do you all pray for, sister? Yes. Huh? You believe Jesus as you? Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll close this place. By the one who can open the Red Sea and close the Red Sea. And I pray, God, that you'll heal this woman in the name of Jesus, thy son. Amen. I believe it, sister. All your heart, I come to you. What's your trouble? Arthritis. Heavenly Father, this is something the doctors cannot do anything for. But thou art not a remedy, you're the cure. And I pray that you'll heal this woman and make you be well the rest of her life. In Christ's name, amen. Now, do you believe? All right, go rejoice. You know what happens by tomorrow night. What's your trouble, sister? home.
God, I pray that in Christ's name, that you'll heal the woman and make her well. Make the more out of her testimony be here that God has healed her. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, don't look to me, but remember, the God of Elijah is here. Don't you see if he doesn't prove that he's here? Your trouble, I see my God knows you. I see Mrs. D'Amico, Miss D'Amico's friend. Oh, well, now he's a healer, isn't he, sister? Our Heavenly Father, I pray with all my heart that in Jesus Christ's name that you'll heal this dear woman. This growth is on her. And you alone can take it off. And I lay hands upon her in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I'll let you hear tomorrow what happened. Your trouble, sister. I believe. God be merciful to you, sister. Are you believing now? Our Heavenly Father, as your servant, here and after hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years have passed, you're still God. You will be God always. People still need you. And as long as there is a need, there's a God to meet that need. And I pray as I lay my hands upon earth, as you lie your lady body up on the side, I ask for her healing in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, sister. I believe. Sister Woods, of course, I know your trouble at your side. Heavenly Father, I pray for my sister with the sincerity of my heart. May this be the time that you'll make her well from her side. I pray that it'll leave her now and never bother her again. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you, sister. Your trouble for another brother. Would you come just a little close? Heavenly Father, he represents someone else somewhere in this world. I pray that you'll heal that someone else and bless this man for his efforts. In Jesus' name, amen. Come, sir. Your trouble, my brother. Your only son, mentally ill. Heavenly Father, may you, oh God, as my heart bleeds for him, may the evil spirit leave the boy. And may when he returns home, find it even gone, and come and give testimony to the glory of God. Father, I humbly ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, brother. May you see what you've asked for. Your trouble, sister. He does, though, doesn't he? Our Heavenly Father, as the little lady's not certain, but it's a stomach condition somewhere, I pray, Father, that you'll make the evil leave her as I lay my hands upon her in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. Now let me hear what happens tomorrow. All right, sister, what's your trouble? Your daughter in a hospital. All right. You'll take your handkerchief here. My Father God, I place this handkerchief before thee in my hands, which is unworthy. But thou hast so seen me to send it to all the world. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll bless this handkerchief when it lays on her daughter. May she be dismissed from the hospital, a well person, and sent home. In Jesus' name, amen. Our God bless you, sister, and may it be so. Let me hear what happened. Your trouble, sister.
Arthritis.
But even the preaching of the word, have you ever seen the meetings, other meetings? Did you realize now?
Yeah. It was just Sunday.
It was just Sunday. Did you see how the Holy Spirit works among the people?
Yeah.
I think he's here just the same. He's right here. You believe that?
Oh.
Now, Heavenly Father, I lay hands on our sister and bless her in Jesus' name, that between now and tomorrow night, the sign that I asked you in the hotel room tonight, I pray that you'll have this woman returning soon to arthritis and stone.
Oh.
In Jesus' name, I ask it. Amen. Now don't die, but come and let us know what happened. Will you do it?
Yes.
God bless you. Now, sir, will you hold steady, please, until the disturbing when we leave, and we should be in prayer for all these friends. So please hold steady, will you?
Just a few more minutes, and we'll be finished.
All right, come on along. No trouble, sister. Oh, God, in Christ's name, I pray that you will heal this woman of arthritis. May her testimony tomorrow night be great. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, sister. No trouble, sister. Heavenly Father, as I hold the hands of this young woman, I pray that in Christ's name that you'll restore to her sight and may she be well and testify to your glory tomorrow night. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, young man. Your trouble, sister. Nervous system headache. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll bless this young woman and heal her of nervousness and headache. And may your testimony be tomorrow night. It's never bothered me since. I pray for this blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, sister. And your trouble? Father. Oh, God. Thou knowest all things. I pray for this dear woman that you'll heal her of this trouble. In Jesus Christ's name, may your testimony be tomorrow night. I'm healed. Amen. God bless you, sir. Dear God, this dear man with a double rupture and desiring a double potion of your spirit, God, I lay hands upon him as your servant, and knowing the need of the day, I pray that you'll grant the things that he asks. I sincerely ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Oh, God bless you. You believe that tomorrow night you'll be coming up your testifying tent and your stomach you can eat again. Heavenly Father, I bless this woman and I ask for her healing, for a testimony in her neighborhood of the Lord Jesus. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I let you tomorrow. Yes, in perfect hearing and stiff fingers. All right. You believe that you're going to be very perfect? You believe you're going to be very perfect?
Yeah.
And your fingers are going to be well?
Yeah.
Our Heavenly Father, bless this woman and make her healing perfect and heal her stiff fingers. I pray for this that tomorrow night the testimony will be to the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, sister. I believe you're here, don't you?
Amen.
I'm believing.
Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, as this child stands here and asks just a young woman here at the crossroads of life, I pray that you'll heal her of this nervousness, Lord, and this growth in her neck. I pray that tomorrow night she'll come back and say the growth is gone and her nervousness is gone and she'll be well so she can serve you. God, then, if you'll do this, I'll run a prayer line like this constantly. Run it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, sister. Your trouble, sister. I bless and arthritis. Heavenly Father, I bless this dear woman. As I hold these hands, perhaps to pat a little baby's cheek many times, rock the cradle when the baby was sick. Oh, Father, I pray that you'll take the arthritis and trouble away from her and make the monarchy return rejoicing and it left me unwell. In Jesus' name, amen. The little baby, the little deaf and dumb baby is singing Mama and can hear him. Let us turn back up to the platform now. Oh God, in Christ's name, heal the woman and make her well. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What'd you say?
Ma.
Ma. Well, that's 35. Ma. You're my little girlfriend. You believe that? Can you say Mom for me? Mom? Mom?
Hold on.
Mom, 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 she's crying hard. Mom, she thinks I'm trying to get a smile to her mouth. Oh, turn up on the music for everybody. Thank you.
moment.
You stand down there, didn't you?
She said, no,
I'm
outside the door.
She said, that was your buddy?
No, I'm
your neighbor. Her neighbor is a brother, and she said, out the door, and she said, Ma. And that shows that the spirit has gone from her. She's never spoke to her in her life. She's a baby. Now, could it be possible you could get her back tomorrow night, and you could train her a little bit tomorrow on how to talk and bring her back? I want the audience to see what happened.
Yeah,
I'll tell you. You'll do that. What, are you
there, Lucy?
Sweetie. Well, that's very fine. And if she's not Sweetie,
no.
I don't think so. She looks like an Irish girl. Yes, sir. Oh, yes. Her father is working, and her mother has two small children, but the child has heard and spoke tonight. Now, that's just real faith, just real believer, that's all. And what I'm doing, I'm trying my best just to throw myself in there and just breathe for the people, then see what happens. If it works, I'll run it for a long overnight, I've got.
And God bless you, I want to hear tomorrow, you singing. Now, if you don't know how to say, see if we say, pull your ears, you start doing that. If you say, use your finger, it's going to be that good market. Now, she thinks we're trying to go, thank you, but you have to make a sound. You bring it back tomorrow night, or if you can't come up tonight, anyhow, say, Eddie, I'd like to see you tomorrow night. I'll be to talk tomorrow night. You say, Mom, and so forth, don't you?
Yeah.
Do you believe it with me now?
Yeah.
All right. God bless you, sister. All right. Your trouble, sister. Oh, dear God, heal this poor lady as she sends her a good woman, and I pray that you'll make her well through Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. Only you're coming tomorrow night, man. Your trouble. Oh, God, heal our sister of this stomach and kidney trouble, and may she return tomorrow night saying, well, it's all gone. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey.
You believe it now? All right, that's right. Your trouble, sister. Blind and left eye and losing the sight in your eye. Oh, my, that's too bad. Just a lovely little lady. Now, don't you believe tomorrow night that you'll be able to come up and even show us and point to us and tell us by just left eye and seeing the right is good again? Won't you believe that? Will you believe it?
I'd like to say some things,
but
my testimony is the
same
as
the
truth for my living today.
Amen. That's fine, honey. Heavenly Father, I bless this child, son of your going blind. Now, Lord, thou knowest all things, and I hope and trust to you that tomorrow night this will be one flood of testimony. Grant it, Lord, and may this child be able to see out of his blind eye the little deaf young girl speaking and hearing. Grant it, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let's hear from you, sister. I believe it, don't you believe it? All right? Oh, Jesus. This old woman, arthritis, ringing in her ears, sinus infection, God can heal these things. And I bless her, Lord, as a prayer of faith. He said the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And with all my heart, I'm trying to heal myself to your spirit, knowing that you're standing with the platform. I ask for her healing through Christ's name. Amen. I heart of hearing. Tomorrow night, do you believe you'll hear perfect?
Yes, I do.
Heavenly Father, I ask for his healing tonight, that the evil spirit that made him deaf, the deaf spirit, will leave him, and tomorrow night he'll come back rejoicing, praising God, and to your purpose. In Christ's name, I ask it.
Amen.
I want to hear from you now tomorrow night.
Thank you.
Your trouble, sister. Your baby. Heavenly Father, I bless the mother for her offspring, her baby. And as the Canaanite woman came for her, may the God of heaven bless her child and make it well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God bless you, sister. God, she stands for the sister that you played with as a little girl. She has cancer. And you alone can heal her. May the message come.
Hallelujah.
Like the lady down in Kentucky a few weeks ago. May she be healed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, sister. My
belief.
Amen. All right. How many words the Lord?
Amen.
The Lord Jesus with all my heart. Isn't he wonderful? Lord. God is real, isn't he? You know that song we sing? God is real. I can feel him in my soul. Jesus is wonderful. Let's pray just a minute. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll magnify yourself. Let these people know that you're here, that you're God, that you're real. I pray in Christ's name. Help me, God, just now. In Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know. How many more we got on it, Billy? Papa? Thanks for seeing the order of the meeting. You believe God's here? Got bad breathing, having your sister sitting out there. You believe that God will make you well? Amen. It's gone now. Thank the Lord. Isn't he wonderful? God is here. I just can't hold it any longer. He's choking me down. Visions are flashing everywhere. Oh, how wonderful. That same angel of God standing out there. Oh, that lady's got another sign of trouble. If you believe, lady, about three backs in the row on the other side, believe with all your heart, you can be made well. If you believe it, you can have it. Amen. What do you think out there, you in the audience? Are you believing? Do you believe, lady? All that nervous trouble, you think will leave you, do you? Amen. That throat trouble too will leave you, don't you? You believe that cancer will go out of your throat? You do? If you do, praise the Lord, say, I believe in the Lord. Amen. Then in Jesus Christ's name, I consume this enemy that leads the woman. Amen. God bless you. Go and bless you. Amen. Isn't he wonderful? You believe that Christ will heal you? Yes, your son's mentally ill, isn't he?
That's right.
Isn't that strange? But you got sinus trouble, too, and nervous trouble that you want to get rid of also. You believe Jesus can make you well?
Yes.
Amen. See, I want you to know that all the time passing by your visions are coming, I just didn't say nothing. Amen. Come on, you see the scripture in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. He's here. Have faith out there and see if he doesn't call you. Hallelujah. Don't know you, ladies. God knows you, don't you? Do you believe me to be his prophet? Do you believe that these people passed by you were actually blessed? What would you think of being healed on your faith? Is that right? If God will prove to you, he's standing here on the platform, I've never seen you just a woman come up here on the platform. If God will tell me what you are here for, will you believe me as his prophet? Will the rest of you believe me with all your heart? You're all nervous and upset about something. Yes, it's caused the death. That is your son-in-law. You're still infinite. That's right. You're here for a person that you're praying for salvation. That's your daughter. And two other people. You got three handkerchiefs for people to be praying for. Is that right? It's just the prayer of the Lord. How do you do? Oh, God of heaven, let thy mercy rest upon me and bless these in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have faith.
Hey.
You believe?
Hey.
You see with you all the ladies, little ladies sitting on the inner seat? You believe you could be the servant of the Lord? You don't have a doubt in your mind? You believe God is healing that kidney trouble and make you wrong? What you weeping for sitting next to her with a red dress on? Do you believe me to be God's prophet, little lady? If God is telling you what your trouble is, will you receive your healing, you believe? Indeed. You believe that Jesus can heal you? The other little lady with your hand up. What do you think about it? Look at me here a minute. Do you believe me to be God's prophet? If God will reveal to me what your trouble is, will you receive it? You have kidney trouble too. That's right. What do you think, little fellow, sitting there, little bitty boy? What do you think about it? You believe me to be God's servant? If God will reveal to me what you want or something other about you, will you accept it? You will? That's funny trouble. That's God, isn't it? You want to be healed. Let the rest of the world be as well, is that right? Mm-hmm. That lady next to you is from Maryland also. The little lady with the red dress on from Pennsylvania. That's right. This other lady from Maryland. That's right, too. You're all from out of town. That's right, isn't it? Raise your hands if that's right. What do you think, ladies? You believe me to be God's children? You believe the power of God is here? You believe that God will give you a desire? You believe that God is here, Christ, who can reveal all things, the secrets of your heart, as He promised you would in the Bible? You believe that? All right? You're awfully nervous, aren't you? When the reason's got nervous, then you got a stomach trouble from it. That's right, because you're nervous. Say, by the way, as I look at you, I see a lot of water come floating in. You're worried about somebody overseas. And that's in a mountain country, or way up in a rolling country. It's a Scandinavian. It's Norway. And it's a man. And it's your son. And he's in a hospital. It's the Alexander's he's got, and he's in a hospital. That's God, isn't it? That's right. Raise your hand. Thus saith the Lord. O God of heaven, thank your blessing and bless our faith. In Jesus' name. Oh, sure. Do you believe? Are you ready?